Today's episode of the Axial and Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll, benefits, and HR to small businesses across the country. And you can get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am the founder of Accidental Creative and the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative and the new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is all about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. Here on the show, we talk about you, we talk about your creative process, and we talk about the mechanics of having to go to work and solve problems under pressure every day. That's a tremendous, tremendous amount of strain and stress that we go through in order to just do our job. And on today's show, we're going to talk about something that I think we often don't want to talk about, but it's something that we need to talk about, which is hiding. I believe that as creative professionals, there are a tremendous number of insecurities that we have to wrestle to the ground. And one of the things that can be a symptom of insecurity is that we begin to hide things. We begin to hide stresses, anxieties, pressures, or we hide from ourselves. We hide things that we know we should be doing, but we don't want the accountability of having to deal with them. And so we hide from them. So today I want to talk about some of the places we might be hiding things and some of the ways that we can begin to put those things out into the light so that we can work through them and produce the best work of our life. And that's really what we want to do, right? We want to be able to produce work that we'll be proud of and build a body of work that we can point to and say, yes, that represents me. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. So excited to have Gusto as a sponsor of the show. You know, everyone loves payday, right? But loving a payroll provider, well, that's a little bit weird. But small businesses across the country love running payroll with Gusto. Gusto automatically files and pays your taxes. It's super easy to use, and you can add benefits and HR support to help take care of your team and keep your business safe. It's loyal, it's modern, and you might just fall in love yourself. Running your payroll with Gusto takes about 7 minutes on average. You can automatically file and pay state, local, and federal payroll taxes, and you can choose from hundreds of benefit plans to fit nearly any budgets. Listeners to the Axial Creative get 3 months free once they run their first payroll. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way modern small businesses work, but Gusto is. You need to check it out. Just go to gusto.com/creative to run your first payroll. That's gusto.com/creative. We thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, so we each have danger zones that we have to watch out for in the course of our work, especially when doing highly complex creative work. And these can be particular habits or patterns that we fall into when we go into coast mode. And we all know what coast mode means. It means that we're not really bringing ourselves fully and freely to the work. Instead, we're kind of just going through the motions. Or maybe these are situations where we're likely to get irritated, so we just go into coast mode. We don't want to have to deal with the stress and the pressure. Or maybe, you know, these are situations where we have to collaborate with people that we don't really like collaborating with. And so we go into coast mode so we don't have to deal with the conflict. And this can really easily short circuit our collaborative relationships and definitely short circuit our ability to do great work. The problem with these danger zones is that they're often invisible to us. And because we can't step outside of our own experience in order to see how we're actually behaving and engaging in our work, we can't see ourselves through other people's eyes. It's often impossible or really difficult to diagnose them, and we don't even understand how they're affecting our work. And thus, it's possible to drift off course over time simply because we're not aware that we've set the wrong bearing. Well, one simple method that I've discovered to be an effective way of uncovering potential danger zones is to pay attention to the secrets that I keep. Now, I know that sounds ominous, but secrets don't have to be deep, dark things. Secrets are often sourced in areas of shame or embarrassment or insecurity or uncertainty, and they can indicate places where I'm feeling less than confident about my work or less than confident about my ability to bring myself to my work. And these are often areas where I'm also likely to fall into unhealthy habits, right? Or to get especially defensive when questioned. When you're defending something, you're defending yourself, that's a great sign that there's some insecurity that you're trying to protect. And I say this often. I said this yesterday. I spoke several times yesterday at the University of Kentucky at the Von Allman Institute for Entrepreneurship. And I was speaking to several groups of early stage entrepreneurs and students and others. And I said, listen, your area of insecurity is the area where you have the greatest potential to do damage to your team as a leader. Whatever you're protecting, that's the place where you have the most potential to damage your team and potentially irreparably damage your team. Insecurity is not your friend. And when we're hiding things, it often means that we're insecure or we feel shame or we feel uncertain. So maybe you're protecting your self-image. You could be protecting your own lack of diligence. Maybe you know you haven't done your job and you're protecting that. You could be protecting your ego, you know, just your need to be seen as a certain kind of person. And when you hide behind a mask, you're protecting yourself from the fallout of somebody discovering what you perceive to be the truth, or at least your perception, right, of the truth. However, self-protection provides a motive other than the one that you should be pursuing, which is to produce brilliant work. That's what we want to do. So when we protect ourselves, often it stands directly opposed to our ability to bring ourselves to the work that we're trying to do. You can't have two motives at once. You cannot chase self-protection and brilliant work at the same time. Thus, when you're in self-protection mode, you risk forfeiting your best work. And in the end, I believe that we're defined more by the questions that we avoid than the questions that we ask. So when you're self-protecting, sometimes you don't ask important questions because you don't want the accountability of having to answer that question. And so you avoid questions, you avoid important questions. And as a result, because you're not asking those questions, you're not really delving deeply into the areas you need to delve into if you want to grow and produce great work. So if you're avoiding questions, you're avoiding asking questions simply because it's inconvenient to ask the question, that's also a great sign that you might be hiding something. You might be trying to avoid having to ask questions or examine areas of your life where you're stymied and you might be protecting something. So are there secrets that you're keeping in your work? And what do they tell about your motives, your fears, and your sense of identity? Are you hiding things from the people that you work with? Are you hiding your sense of a lack of adequacy to be able to do the work? Are you hiding the fact that you are phoning it in because you really don't want to have to deal with the conflict? So do any of these things that you might be hiding point to ineffective activity, places where you're dividing your efforts between self-protection and effectiveness? So here are a few strategies that I encourage you to try to help you avoid the temptation to hide in the shadows. The first one is you need to find a mirror. A mirror, and I wrote about this in my book, Die Empty. A mirror is a person who has complete permission to speak truth to you. And I mean complete permission to speak truth to you. They are given permission to tell you when you have spinach in your teeth, right? To tell you when you were a jerk in a meeting, to tell you when they think you're phoning it in, you're not doing your best work. You need someone in your life who has complete permission to just say what they are seeing in you, even if, by the way, you think it's unfair, even if it's unfounded, but their perception is important. And you should want to produce great work enough that you're willing to give somebody permission to do this. Now, they shouldn't call you out in a meeting. They shouldn't publicly shame you for something, but they should have permission to call you aside and to speak what they're seeing to you. This is really important. So I encourage you to find a mirror in your life. Who has that kind of access to you and to your thoughts? And who has that kind of access to be able to come and to speak truth to you? We need this if we want to grow. And if you want to dive into this more, check out my book, Die Empty. I wrote a whole chapter about the importance of staying connected and relationships. If you wait until you need someone to speak truth to you to find that person, it's already too late. Because at that point, they're not going to have seen enough patterns and been able to build up a well of trust with you over time. And in that moment when you need them, they may not be effective for you. So do you have a mirror in your life speaking truth to you? The second strategy is, and this is, again, it's not a surprise, but it's something we hear and we don't do. You know, this is one of the problems, I think, with this kind of advice culture that we've developed is that, oh, yeah, everything sounds familiar, but nothing is really internalized and acted upon. It's not what you know that matters, it's what you do that matters. So one of the other things I encourage you to do is to regularly journal and to note anything that surprises you in your journaling. A really effective exercise, I've talked about this probably 500 times on the show, probably not that many, is The Morning Pages by Julia Cameron. So Julia Cameron wrote a book called The Artist's Way, and The Morning Pages is 3 pages of longhand stream of consciousness writing first thing in the morning. And all you're doing, and by the way, it's ugly writing. You're never going to read it again. It's not designed. It's not, you're not writing to your future self to go back and look at this. I mean, it's fragments of thoughts. It's anything that's on your brain. It's stream of consciousness. And what you'll often find, what I often find, is that surprising things come out. Oh my gosh, I had no idea I was concerned about this upcoming talk that I'm giving for 3,000 people, right? I didn't even know I was worried about that. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that there's a tension with, you know, this other person that I've been helping out. I didn't realize that that existed. I need to deal with that. Oh, I didn't realize there's an area of curiosity that I hadn't even considered pursuing until it just came out, you know, in this writing. So I encourage you to try this, to try morning pages, or at least to try to journal every day and write about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're anxious about, areas where you think you might be hiding from other people or hiding something or self-protecting, especially if you're a leader. This is critically important. Self-awareness of places where you're insecure is really important because, again, those areas of insecurity are the places you have the potential to cause the most damage to your team. And then finally, in the moment when you feel tempted to self-protect, I encourage you to push through that temptation and instead try to achieve some measure of vulnerability. Find someone to talk to about the thing that you're hiding. And again, I'm not talking about unethical behavior. I'm not talking about finding someone saying, I've been stealing from the company. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about, you know, hey, I am afraid to share an idea in a meeting because I don't want the accountability. So I'm hiding these ideas that I have because I don't want to have to execute them because I simply don't have the time to do it. Well, I understand that impulse, but that's also a cop-out. That's also coasting. That's also not producing your best work. Instead, introduce the idea and try to negotiate for the time and resources to execute it or whatever it takes. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be satisfied with the work you've produced if you know that you're hiding your best work from the organization. Now, some people do this, and then they, on the back end, they direct all of their frustration and angst over having not produced their best work at the organization. And they say, they wouldn't let me do it. That's not really true. The reality is you withheld yourself. And in the end, you withheld yourself saying they wouldn't let me do it even if I shared it. And then you justified it on the back end. That self-protection was justified by pointing fingers at other people. So don't let that be you, right? Don't hide. Refuse to hide in the shadows. So ideally, there's no need to keep secrets in an organizational environment, right? If there's trust and respect, and there's, that trust and respect is highly reinforced. However, pay attention to places where you feel the urge to hide in the shadows, and you may uncover areas where you're straying into danger zones. Don't hide. Bring yourself fully and freely to your work. That way, in 10 years, when you look back, you'll have no regrets about how you engaged your work. Not just the work you did, but how you engaged your work. And in the end, that's going to stand as more of a testament to who you are than anything that you produce. All right, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.